231.
Who's the best show here?
Sex Show!
Who's the best show here?
Sex Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I am short.
That's how I got hired at Chippendales.
Big O! Showtime!
While you were making it poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the show, then go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see challenge the LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 992 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going?
We have Mr. Moneybucks himself, Joel.
Please.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Yeah. Dude, I was in terraform hell this week. I think I mentioned last week that I was working with my manager because he needed to get this application fixed. Now, he was the third person to be on this. It almost seemed like the kiss of death for this employee death of the application, because everybody that preceded him working on this ended up, like, leaving.
Or dying.
So he picked it up. He's working on it. And he taps me for a couple of things to help him with, to get stuff done, like moving it from Jenkins into the this is a nightmare kind of application. It is a notifications application that in certain events happen, posts messages in a Microsoft Teams channel, and it had not been working since, I don't know, I can't remember when, a long time, November. And it was a function-based application that would receive notifications on a pub-sub topic. So it's a Google function, triggered by a notification from pub-sub topic. And it was developed by a coworker who was not on our team anymore, and it was deployed through Jenkins, but the deployment code was in a forked branch off of, it was a fork of our infrastructure repository in his, under his, like, it was his fork, but a branch in there. And the goal was to get it into a GitHub workflow, but it was all sorts of stuff, involved in doing that. And it was one of those things where he would kept tapping me for some help. Well, I was in the middle of doing like two or three other things. So he would ask me, and I was like, I'll get a setup for you. And then I'd be like, well, we have to get this information from our platform engineering team. I'll put in a ticket to get it. And then I would forget about it, and they would get back to me like that day. And then I would forget about it. And then he would say, hey, did you hear from them the next day? And I'd be like, oh crap. Yeah. You know, and get this information. So, because of my delinquency, what ended up happening is that we had to do a bunch of changes to this, bunch setup and Terraform permissions and everything. And it all coalesced on, I think it was on Monday, where this stuff is set up in a, so Google, when you're in Google Cloud has what's called a project, and the project then is where all the Google services go into. So we have multiple projects Like, for instance, we have a separate project for each environment, and that would be like our dev, staging, and production. And then it's like a full application suite in that project, and that's our CI pipeline testing all the way. Well, this stuff was in a project that we don't own or have ownership of. And it was also like in a project that the former owners of it, I guess. I don't know who owns it. And it used to be under one unified location, all this stuff. But then they're like, well, we're just going to break it all up and we're going to take the pieces that are under ownership of different teams, put it in their infrastructure repositories instead of it being in there. And then it's set up in Scala that we have access, you know, there's separate projects in Scalar with the workspaces in there with the that's all defined by Terraform. Well, this stuff never made it out of that main repository, which nobody wants to take ownership of anymore. So like our permissions on that were sketchy to begin with. And it just so happened we needed to make the update for that. The very same day that they decided to update the Terraform version in Scalar, which broke everything.
Yep.
So it was like the update to Terraform was announced on February 6th and done on February 10th or whatever, because when we went to go work with it, it had already been done. And I had no idea this was going on. And so I'm trying to figure out why this shit's not working. And I had to dig around, and then eventually I was going to go to the team that owns this and ask in their channel what's going on. And I noticed other people are having this problem. It's Terraform update. And it was a fiasco because their directions were kind of not complete. And when I went to go do what their direction said to do, I couldn't do it because they didn't provide us the permissions to do that. So it was just like going back and forth. And once we got it, you know, got it fixed and I was able to update the permissions, we pushed that shit out and applied it, and my boss was like really happy and ecstatic that it was finally working. So he was really happy, which was great. And I'm glad that this application got fixed and it was doing what it was supposed to do and everybody was happy. But then it left me with the fact that I have to update all our workspaces with these Terraform changes. And when they split everybody out into their own repositories and we assumed ownership, they created so many different workspaces. And the update has to happen to like every single workspace. So there's like 40 workspaces I had to update to get it up there. And like, as I'm trying to update the workspace, I'm doing a bunch of other stuff and people are coming in with changes that they need to do. And I'm like, shit, I got to update this workspace before they make the changes because it's going to throw errors and they're going to have no idea what the hell to do. So it was a joy. And then, so we do like almost all our infrastructure is defined in Terraform, right? And we've been having some new applications, new functions coming in, and we're really trying to tune them properly. So one of the things that has been kind of an impediment to that was when we so when they went full in on Google, they kind of put out the indication that now that we're going full in on Google, we're going to get rid of like all the other services that aren't Google. And so they tried to save money. They wanted to get rid of Sumo Logic, which is what we use for our logging system, like aggregates the logs. And, so you use Datadog, right, Joel?
Yes, sir.
And your logs go in the Datadog?
Some of them do, some of them don't. Like our main application logs do not, because the only useful logs that our application gives us is when it's in verbose. And to give you an example, one of the database listeners, if it's in full debug, you can generate 2 gigabytes of logs in 5 minutes. So
that's expensive. So if you've ever used, I can't remember what the Apache log aggregator is. I can't remember any, but like Sumo Logic, I think Datadog. There's a bunch of them. A log aggregator application, which has a robust search or query language to go with it, where you could do really get some good information out of your logs. So Google's Logger application is bare bones, right? You can query your logs by basically looking at, like, if it's a JSON object and your logs have a JSON object, there's a JSON payload, and you can do like more fine-tuned searching with a JSON object than with just a text payload. But you can't do things like give me a count of all the logs that have like that match this pattern and group them by another field, and then tell me like for instance, we wanted to, one of the things that we were seeing was that it appeared that we have this function that's only supposed to be triggered like once a minute during a 10-minute period, but yet we were seeing far more triggers than once a minute. And when we would look in there, we were able to identify that for some reason, the pub sub trigger, it was sending the same message more than once, like to the function processor. And it's like, ideally it should be a one-to-one thing, but we would see this. Now, we were interested to see how often this happens, because it's supposed to happen rarely, but it seemed to be happening with some frequency for a function that only happens once. And we were able to look at this and say, well, if we identify it in a Google Logger by looking for this one field, and we see that there's three indications of three separate runs in a less than a minute period, we then go look into that, into the logs for that, and we can look in further into the JSON payload and see the PubSub message ID. And if they match, then we know this was the same message being processed three times, right? But you can't like get a count of that, like you could with, we could with Sumo Logic. And we still have Sumo Logic, but these are our functions. And so, like, the Kubernetes applications logs, they flow into Sumo Logic also, as well as Google Logger. But our functions are in a separate project. They're not in the Kubernetes container projects. So those logs don't get in. This is what we're doing. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Google has the next level, which is log analytics. And log analytics also has support for BigQuery, which is an SQL database offering. So you can have your logs go into a log bucket, a Google Cloud storage bucket, which then you can do log analytics on, which has an SQL language base to it. Or in addition to that, you can also have it go into BigQuery, which is just a SQL database right there. And so I initially was going to do BigQuery, but after reading their documentation, I was like, well, let's just start with analytics because we'll see how well that goes. And, of course their documentation specifically tells you about setting this up for using the either their Google console or their G Cloud SDK or using their API. But Terraform is never in their documentation. You have to kind of take what you need to do in from their documentation and figure out what the Terraform definitions are for it through the Terraform documentation and go from there. And it's always a joy, so to speak, to do this. Now, this was an extra special joy because what it came to find, come down to find out is there is no support in Terraform for setting up a Google logging bucket. There is support for setting up the default project logging buttons, because when you enable logging, Google Logger, it automatically creates two logging buckets, default and I can't remember the other name, but they're required buckets. So I don't know why the Terraform allows you to create those or that's in there to create those, because they're automatically created when you initialize Google Logger and you really shouldn't be messing with them. There's probably not a reason to, but they don't allow you to create a logging bucket. So long story short is I actually had to do it through the UI, which was super easy, but it kind of breaks our, you know, defining the infrastructure in code practice that we have put in place. This is the first time I've had to do something like that, and I felt really kind of uncomfortable doing it. It took me like 6 hours too of digging through things and trying things out to finally discover that there is no Terraform support for setting up a logging bucket. There's like ways that you can kind of do things in there that make it seem like you could do it, but it's not real. So the big thing was, like, you can set up a bucket in Terraform. You can create and define a bucket in Terraform. And you can create a logging sink in Terraform and tell it to sync the logs to that bucket. But the thing is, when you want to enable log analytics on the Google logging button, bucket, you kind of have to do that, when you set it up. That's an option. But that's not available in Terraform to do that. So the big problem with that is if I were to do the logging bucket in Terraform, which is not really it's just a storage bucket, and do a sync to that bucket, if I attempted to enable Google logging analytics on that bucket, whenever we would process the Terraform again, because that's not defined in Terraform, it would either fail to apply Terraform for whatever changes were made that weren't related to that bucket, because it can't strip the permission from the bucket, or it would just strip the logging analytics from the bucket, which is not at all what we want to do. So, that was the joy of analytics. Good joy of Terraform this week, Joel. But I do like Terraform. The more I use it, the more I learn of it, the more it starts to make sense. It's just, it seems to be like every single time I want to do something new, it's an uphill climb to figure out how it actually has to be formatted and done. But anyway,
that's everything, man.
no shit.
Yeah, it's like, well, we have an issue where we had client saying, "Hey, we're getting this error message when somebody tries to approve a time card." So it came into our HR folks, the ones who do the HR part of the system, and then they work with the systems and tools folks which technically, I guess we're kind of under. It's weird because we're the ones that deal with the cloud stuff. So anyway, so winds up, what's going on is it's taking between, it's random. It's not always, you know, between 7 and 30 seconds for that portion, for that transaction coming from our system to go to the SMTP server. And what comes down to the fact that where they, the client doesn't have an SPF record. So that's part of the problem is, you know, we're trying to send emails that are going to come look like they came from the client's address instead of from our servers that are in the cloud. So there's, and their SPF record that they do have on their DNS record is really complicated and long, so they're trying to figure it out. Fortunately, it's not something I have to deal with. But today was a pretty good day, pretty quiet. We've not gone through, regulatory is probably the biggest time of the year for my department because everyone's trying to make the deadline, get the W-2s, 1095s, 1098s out. And of course we had a relatively heinous bug this year where it just took extra memory, to do that. So we got to that for the year. Now it's just a matter of like, part of what I have to do now is I have to write knowledge articles. So I got to come up with a couple of those for the end of the month, but, I should be able to do that. It was easy last month, but 3D printing, I made a blob today, Joe.
You made some spaghetti.
And a blob. I put one on to go before I left the office last night, and I came up. It's done, but there's spaghetti and a big old blob hanging off the end of the hot end. Mm. Actually, it was still printing because it was a longer print. So I stopped.
Mid-air print, just spitting it all out.
Yeah, so it was so bad it had the sock was completely peeled off. So, but I was able to clean it up. It's actually printing some, latches right now. But one of the first things I did though is ordered a spare hot end, just in case.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't hurt to have an extra on hand. But, you know, so I've been trying to print that one. I came across one yesterday I shared with Joe, where if you download the file, it gives you the SCAD file, which you can open up in SCAD and you can scale it and do what you want. But the neat thing the guy did was he also made a website that hosts, that basically you plug in the parameters and it spits out an STL file, to print the box. The only thing that one, it doesn't have the clamps in it, but
right.
But you can find those.
The clamps from the other ones that we were printing should be the right ones.
Correct.
Yes. But no. Another thing with that is I think you can print out individually the top and the bottom, which I do recommend as opposed to printing out the top and bottom together because then it prints it out as one model and you can't adjust the positioning. And I had a lot of trouble fitting that model onto my bed. I haven't printed it because of that, but it's an issue.
I don't know what it is, but lately my printer seems to be sensitive as hell with the, if the bed is just a tiny bit out of alignment. I don't know if it's back screws that are loosening.
I remember having that issue and I remember complaining about it quite a bit and then it actually turned out to be a bit of, under extrusion.
Yeah, it's not the case on mine.
You calibrated it recently?
Well, I did after I cleaned off the mess today, at lunchtime and put everything back together after I cleaned everything out, clipped the end of the PTFE. Oh. Once I did that, it was fine. I went and retrimmed it, and then it printed fine. So
another issue that I had was the X-arm.
Yeah.
Was just that little bit loose. Yeah. So I had to tighten it back up.
Yeah. That's what it wasn't that on this. Once I went and the back two corners were a little bit out of adjustment. So once I adjusted that, it worked fine. So now I haven't tried anything big yet. I'm printing a bunch of. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna print a bunch of the clamps, and then if I print another one, which I think I am gonna print another one. And one thing I did figure out was I was printing with, I have this red transparent filament.
Yeah.
That I have a roll of
red transparent PETG that probably needs dried out.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem with this, but it's always been like this since the day I got it. And it's just way too long, past, you know, I tend to now want to stray away from transparent filaments because every kind I've ever gotten, even the clear, has been like that for me. I don't know why.
Just clogs and pops.
Yeah, it's just horrible. Yeah, well, no, it would just bust. Oh. So it would snap on the other side of the extruder. So, you know, but I did manage to get several good prints. Like one of the boxes I made, the ones that are not designed, but the ones that happen to fit in the front of my backpack. One of those I printed with the transparent, and I printed the same pieces for another one, and the arm snapped when I was trying to do it. So I printed some 100% infill with another filament, and they're fine now. So now, granted, I haven't replaced all the rest of the parts on it, and I probably won't because those are fine, but the big stress ones. What are those arms, and those just snapped. So, when I printed them in transparent, I also had infill on those, and I printed the new ones. I printed another filament, but with 100% infill, and I think they'll be fine now.
Yeah.
But,
well, sometimes instead of 100% infill, you just want more walls, and then sometimes.
Right.
When you do want 100% infill, you don't want it for the whole model, and you can do some tweaking and cure to just make it portions of the model that print out at 100%.
Yep. And I did have some issues with, when I was printing the second one of those, I was having a rough time. It was warping on one corner. So I ended up going in and tweaking the fan settings. So I have it, turn on the fan until
fourth layer, fifth layer.
Oh no, higher than that. I think it went like 8 or 9 layers. And I also probably didn't do anything, but I printed a draft shield. Once I did that, though, they printed perfectly. So,
oh, is this PETG or PLA?
PLA. So, but I don't have any PETG right now. I probably should order some at some point, but.
Fix my enclosure so I can use all this ABS that I have.
Yeah. Actually, I think what I might do, if I get another one, I want to see if I can get an enclosure with it or build one at the time I buy it.
Well, plexiglass is expensive, but yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of black tables, IKEA tables.
Mm-hmm, or something like that, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I'm actually starting a buddy of mine. He just got a laser engraver, and I kind of want one of those now.
You got a workshop.
Yeah. Well, I got a garage. Actually, that's something like that. That could run in a garage. You know, because that's not going to be as sensitive to heat and humidity as 3D printing is. So
my 3D printer runs in my garage.
Yeah, but you're in Texas, man. I mean. For me, it was 70 degrees here today, and later on, let's see, it might snow Thursday, or
we've been suffering
not this
from
week.
The same crap.
Yeah, so
It's been in the 30s. And then the 70s. Like the next day.
64 degrees right now, which is actually fairly high for this time of year.
Computer, what's the temperature?
But
70 degrees.
Right. Low it's 40. A lot warmer there, but yeah, but our low is going to be, what is our low? Probably 50 or 48, somewhere around there.
So our low is going to be lower than your low.
Yep. The weather's been a little bit wacky up here, but and just in case anybody asks, oh, we're supposed to have thunderstorms tomorrow too. It's in the high of 61. Friday, it's going to be 34. So, and then the next day,
any of that
44.
Shit blowing your way from that
train derailment? That's exactly where I was going. Well, East Palestine is over at the Ohio, PA border, kind of up closer to Erie.
I'm nowhere near
Arizona where the truck flipped.
There's another one too, right?
The one in Ohio. But yeah, that's not near me.
But the East Palestine's gonna, what's disturbing to me is the media's not really covering it hardly at all.
What about locally?
I don't watch local
news. The crap that happened in, Arizona, they had to like evacuate 3 miles around.
Yeah.
So yeah, sure locally it's going off.
Well, the one in Ohio, probably the biggest concern is now they're back in, from what I've heard, they're back in their homes.
No, some people are.
Yeah. And
the people that can't afford to be elsewhere.
They would do free tests for anyone that was concerned about it up there.
Well, they already had to do a burn.
Right. But once they did in East Palestine, or at Palestine, it's actually Palestine, that's how you say it up there, even though it's spelled like Palestine. Those have all been clear. Alright. Now what's not entirely clear is they've had livestock die off from this thing. They've had, definitely some of this went into the Ohio River, which connects to the Mississippi, and it's gonna be bad. You know, and they told people up there to, drink bottled water, don't drink the water.
All this shit happening
UFOs,
at once,
man. What
is
about
what's
the
bad.
UFOs, you know, the UFOs?
Well, there's the theory, the balloons. Okay, I have a huge theory about that. Now, the first one was likely China. But since they've adjusted nobody's really said this. The government's forthcoming.
They did say this.
No. On the other ones.
Yeah, no.
Like the ones.
They don't know where they came from. Well, they don't know, you know, the country of origin. The whole thing was they changed the criteria for the stuff that they're looking
and
for.
And that's why they're detecting
more. And open it back up, and
right,
that's why they're
right.
detecting more.
Right. So, for those who aren't ham operators, they probably never heard of this. There's the guy who does the live streaming from Dayton, the Dayton Ham Convention in Xenia, Ohio. He has several times launched balloons, big, you know, relatively close in size to the smaller ones that have hit, and attached as a transmitter, and they have actually circumnavigated the globe. Some of them have gone around two or three times. So I think that might be some of the things they're catching. I saw another, not confirmed, but another rumor that those might be those big balloons with the flags on them that car dealerships point out, which I wouldn't doubt, but you know, the balloons that W5KUB sends up, those have gone high enough to be where this Chinese balloon has been. So, but it's definitely not aliens. I can tell you that right off the bat.
No, you can't.
I don't think aliens are going to send balloons.
Oh, I don't think it's aliens either. Because if they were able to, you know, get here from wherever, then obviously their technology is a whole lot better than ours, so.
The one that concerns me more is the one over Lake Huron where the first time they shot a Sidewinder out it, it missed.
It dodged?
No. No, they just missed it.
How do you miss with a Sidewinder?
I don't want.
Wait, are you sure you're not confusing that with they tried to shoot it down with bullets first?
50 cal would have been more than enough. Yeah.
And, but they weren't able to hit it with the bullets, so they hit it with the missile.
See, I hadn't heard that they even, I hadn't heard that they even tried to shoot it with bullets.
Like the, not the one that they shot over the ocean, but I heard somewhere that they tried to use the guns and it wasn't working, so they hit it with a missile.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think that was one over the lake.
No, they actually, the story I saw said they missed with the first Sidewinder. So. And I'm like, okay, where did that, hopefully that thing has a timer and blows up in the air. but. Yeah, it's to me. I question why they wanted to use a missile in the first place. It makes more sense to shoot it with the 50 cal. Because then at least then you could get more instead of it just completely disintegrating because it hit the ground full speed.
I imagine it's also a bit of a different experience shooting a stationary object than it is, you know, what you normally yes. practice with those 50 cals when you're moving at, you know,
Mach 3
and so it's the person you're shooting at.
Yeah, but it. I don't know. The whole thing is completely absurd. You know, it's like, you know,
Wait, Joel, you're right. The one in Lake Huron, what yes. they did miss with the first Sidewinder and it
yep.
wound up in the lake.
Yep. But it's like, you know, these other ones, I don't think they even know where they came from. Like one, I think one object was a cylinder in, that, well,
I did say a yeah, couple of the large objects that didn't have any of the payloads like the first right. one did. Didn't have the
yeah.
platform on the bottom.
Right. So. Yeah. The first one was huge. But, and I guess they, I saw another story I saw that they said that they actually knew that China launched the first one when they launched it. But they didn't shoot it down well, until after it goes all over the country.
Well, yeah, they didn't shoot it down when it was over people's heads, but that's a whole different thing. The thing is that you're allowed to have weather balloons internationally.
Oh, yes.
You know, those are protected items. But the problem got to be that this was obviously a lot more than a weather balloon. And then they
yes.
chose to shoot it down in the safest place possible. So it was kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if they'd have brought it down in the middle of somewhere, then...
Lots of land in Montana, Joe.
There is a lot of land in Montana that gets used for stuff.
Vacant land.
You can guarantee that there isn't a person down there?
Yeah, it's a 7-mile debris radius.
Well, that's how, yeah, it's how long or large it was in the ocean. You know, probably would have been a little different if it hit land, but you know,
it would have bounced.
There are other thoughts about that. So, like, I don't really think they know everything. About that thing.
The outcry if they'd have brought it down over land would have been, oh my god, they could have
they're
hurt and killed somebody. Oh my, yeah, exactly.
They were damned if they don't. I mean,
damned
that's
either way, so they did it the safest way possible.
Which, I'd kind of like to know what the hell the thing did.
I'm sure the entire administration would like to know that too.
I know. But other things that I thought of too is, well, what, if they did shoot it over land, what if it had like COVID-20 or whatever?
Exactly. Well, what if it had something in
the
it
next
that, you
virus.
Know, was communicable?
Right.
Or even just some kind of accelerant.
Or a bomb.
Fuel.
Or whatever, you know. You know, or I have heard some that said that it could have been an EMP device too, which I doubt, but you know, it's, you know,
if it had been an EMP device, I doubt it would have gotten shot down.
Right. Well, you know. And let's face it, China's not really known for making quality equipment either. So. Unless a U.S. company's paying for it, then they're fine. Yeah. And that whole thing was just ridiculous, you know. But.
Any of you guys watch the State of the Union?
No, hell no.
Yep.
It was very entertaining.
Yeah, it was good times. Good times.
You could play a drinking game and get relatively smashed on that.
Every time Marjorie Taylor Greene goes insane. Oh.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did not.
Nope.
Did you watch the Super Bowl commercials?
Nope. I heard they were crap this year.
Yeah, the Maya Rudolph M&M one was just stupid. I've seen a lot of the commercials online, but I did not watch the game.
Did you see the trailer for Flash?
Yes, I have watched the trailer for Flash. I freaked out.
Right?
Michael Keaton. I'm like, best Batman ever? Yes, please.
They got Keaton and Affleck?
I don't even care about going to see Flash. The Flash. I want to see Batman.
Yeah, everybody wants to see Michael Keaton.
I do want to watch this Flash because they've been, you know, planning it for years, and then even with all the issues around what's his name?
Ezra Miller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I still want to see it because I thought he did a good job. Well, she, whatever the heck he is.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, no, I thought he did a good job with the Justice League stuff, and while I didn't really like the Justice League movie all that much, you know, I did like Aquaman, I did like Wonder Woman, but it's all gone now. Superman's gone, Ben Affleck's gone. I assume Wonder Woman and Aquaman are gone.
Well, I don't know about those two, but that's what's happening with Flash. It's resetting the DC extended universe. So, yeah, Pattinson's gone. Affleck's gone. I'm assuming Keaton's going to be gone too after this, right? And
possibly.
But I haven't heard anything about what. Like
I really, really wanted them to do a Batman Beyond Woman with Keaton.
Aquaman.
Tell me that wouldn't be awesome. A Batman Beyond with Keaton.
Dude, I would take any Batman with Keaton.
That's the thing.
I would like a Batman that isn't a freaking reboot again. We don't need another origin reboot.
They didn't do the origin for the most recent one.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, that was like it's like a year one, but it's definitely not like they're doing an origin.
Right.
You know what I had hope for in the new, like when we started this, because the what was it, the Return of Superman, the first Henry Cavill movie, was like a continuation.
It was
of the original Superman. Like, I won't say it wasn't.
Was that like Henry Cavill, or was that the other guy?
Was it the other guy?
I think that was the other guy, and then Cavill was a new one.
Okay, yeah. So, but that wasn't that one a continuation of the Return of Superman? So it's like Superman was like consistent. Batman, not so much, you know?
Right. Well, DC has just utterly failed at trying to do what the MCU,
but they were doing so well in the TV space, and then they nuked all of that this year.
Yeah.
There's like none of it left. Batwoman's gone, Doom Patrol's gone, Titans gone.
Flash
gone, Arrow gone.
The MCU seems to be imploding. You know, it's just not doing near as well as it did before Endgame.
That's true. Their movies are definitely not, you know, screaming, making me scream,
not
I want to go watch
quality.
Disney's off the rails. Right.
Yeah. Now, some of their TV shows have been pretty good. So they're kind of taking over that TV show market. But where do you go from something like Endgame? You're losing all of your characters. Yes, you can try and do the reboot that DC's doing, but you're still going to lose a lot of your base there, and you're going to have to rebuild. And it's just not going to be as good the second time around.
Which, you know, hey, the new Ant-Man coming out Friday might be okay.
I am interested in that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, is that this Friday?
It's this Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Where's the time gone?
I don't know, man.
Just because of the tie-ins that it's going to have with, like, the Loki TV show.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he's good.
He's funny. He's a funny guy. He's a funny motherfucker.
Yep. But then tomorrow, the first episode of season 3 of the last season of Picard is coming out.
Are you guys keeping up with Night Court?
No.
I am halfway through the last episode. I might just restart it because it's not that long, but I got occupied with other stuff.
It's actually decent.
It is. It's not. It's. I kind of like that the angle they went with on Dan Fielding.
Yeah, I agree.
That works so well, and I kind of like the fact that he's not as much of a lech.
Right.
But
well, he was like 75 or something.
Yeah. But what I would like, it's just the same. Like I heard, like they did renew that 90s show. And it's like,
yeah,
I
got a second season. Night Court got a second season.
Yep. And I hope they do with that season. I hope one of the things I thought of, it's the 90s. They have to throw in some Beavis and Butthead in there because that was hugely popular show back
then.
Some
MTV in general.
Yeah. You know, but that would be cool if they did that, but you know,
like the really cool shit that the MTV was doing in the 90s.
Yeah, there was a lot of, well,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What was that other show? The other animated show that they did.
Aeon Flux.
Aeon Flux, thank you. And then the stuff that spoofed off of those, including, you know, King of the Hill.
King of the Hill was the 90s for sure.
Daria.
Mhm. But yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if they all went and saw like I'm trying to think, what's a big movie then? Oh, like Encino Man or something like that, you know?
Right. Or Clerks.
Yeah.
Clerks. Yeah. Mallrats.
Clerks got a mention the first season. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it did. They had never seen it, but she's trying to rent it, and it ends up Leo had the only copy.
Maybe later on, Hackers?
Or something like that, yeah, you know.
Army of Darkness?
Mm-hmm. There's 90s, yeah, I think the 90s music probably was better than what we have currently, and the movies definitely were.
Everybody's listening to Sublime? And it's saying Clown Posse?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's Cypress a generational Hill. Thing.
It is.
You say that the music's better in the 90s than it is
it
now.
Is.
That you sound like your dad saying, oh, my music in the 70s and 60s is a lot better
than
the 90s.
Most of the popular stuff now uses freaking auto-tune, so I don't want to hear it.
Well,
a lot of music is horrendous, this man. It's like written by 3-year-olds. Very
basic. No, House is terrible.
No key changes.
House is terrible. Ska is terrible. But it's all still, you know, offshoots of electronica, which still, you know, came out of what, the 70s?
Yeah.
But even if you listen to pop music from like the 80s, it's like 10 times more complex than anything that comes out nowadays.
I agree with that.
It's so generic to shit that's out now.
It's like I think somebody said the Rihanna only has like a 1-octave range. You know, if you listen to that stuff, but anyway.
And then there's mumble rap.
Yeah.
How did that
Cookie
crap
Monster
come
rap.
About?
Yeah. But that, the 90s show was pretty good. If you haven't seen it, it's worth it. It's only 10 episodes, so it won't take you long to get through season. But,
What, more Mandalorian, but didn't that guy quit?
Yes. Pedro?
Yeah.
No.
I thought he was quitting because he wasn't getting enough time.
You know what I did here? I think they recast Cara Dune.
Well, yeah, all the controversy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He couldn't keep her mouth shut for 5 minutes, so she got fired.
Yeah.
This will be season four of Mandalorian coming up, right?
No,
season three.
Oh, four, because season was like,
Mandalorian, Boba Fett was basically Mandalorian.
Yeah, might as well just been season three of the Mandalorian.
Right, I knew you would go there, but like, yeah. It's like, what was it, I was seeing what there was.
I hope Boba Fett gets better.
Well, who knows if...
This should just go away. Don't need any more of that.
Yeah. What was it? Oh, no. It was on this, like, Star Wars Facebook page, which I, for some dumb reason, follow. And they said, they had a video that was asking fans of which desert planet do you like more, Tatooine or Jakku? And I'm like, neither.
Can we get away from Tatooine? So tired of everything being on Tatooine.
Yeah, or planet.
They did get away from Tatooine with Andor, and that was fantastic.
In the beginning of Mandalorian, really they weren't on Tatooine the whole time.
Well, I really liked Andor too, Dan. I thought
season three. I haven't watched it yet.
So oh, that was good.
I haven't watched it yet. Maybe I should. But
what, Andor?
Yeah, I haven't yet. But,
oh, it is really good. Unfortunately,
right?
It's like. It takes place before Rogue One, and we all know how the stories end, but it was still really good.
Yeah.
It was still good.
What I like about Andor, it kind of shows like how it evolved into the Empire and what life was like for like the common person in different places.
Yep.
It was really good. I was good.
Right.
Not off slow, but it really got good.
Yep. Yeah, I know season three of Mandalorian, he's gonna go to Mandalore.
Right.
So we're gonna get to see that. Yep.
With the Darksaber.
He has to,
cleanse himself.
Yes. Yes. And he confronts the armor again. So, but actually I bet you what will probably end up happening is at the end of that, they'll probably have some Beskar for Grogu.
Seems like that. I mean, you've already got fan art of that.
Right.
And they were going to have to change too much if they got rid of Grogu the way that they were doing.
Yeah. I don't know. What they could have done with that, with Grogu, is they could have really made him into a Jedi, you know? And that could have kicked off a whole entire franchise based on Grogu.
Yeah, but it would have killed the Mandalorian. The show.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it just depends on how that all works. But... It's gonna work out okay. Mandalorian was some of the best Star Wars. It was better than any of the abominations.
Recent movies? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
No argument from me.
All the Disney movies, sans Rogue One, have been pretty bad.
Look, the prequel movies sucked too.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Yeah. But, and the upside is Jon Favreau got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So, since he is so critical to the MCU and Star Wars now, for sure. I mean, he consulted on The Mandalorian.
Did you guys watch that Last of Us thing? What do you think about that?
No.
No.
I think it's a big mess.
I am excited. I didn't Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
is actually going to get made this time?
Well, the trailers are out, so.
Yeah. It's coming out, what, in, the fall? Is it the fall?
Or
is
I think
it
the so. End of,
I do want to see The Last of Us. Cause I like the game. I don't have high expectations for it, but I like the game. Sorry.
Well. Well, and the Kang, Avengers Kang Dynasty is coming.
That's kind of starting up.
Yep.
That's what all this other stuff, that's like, the
leading up to that, yeah.
Right. The Ant-Man, that's coming up to that. The stuff that happened in Loki, that's where it all kicked off. You do see it in a couple other places in the, Marvel TV shows. So. It will be interesting.
You know what I have found is really, really, really good? Like, even my wife enjoys the shit out of it. It's The Legends of Vox Machina. That is so good.
I don't know that one.
It's on Amazon Prime.
I don't either.
It's the second season. It's Dungeons and Dragons. It is so good.
Oh, that's why I didn't pay attention to it.
It is so good. It is awesome. It is really good.
I do see that. That's like one of the, it's the first thing that pops up on the title screen.
Yeah, Legends of Vox Machina is so good. Like, I was like, when the second season came out, the first episode of the second season, I'm like, how the hell are they going to pull this off? And they've done a really good job. That's all I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a fun show. That and, Reservation Dogs has been really great. Oh, you know what really frosted my wife's Pop-Tart? Is, seeing on a bunch of different news sources are like, we have no idea where this whole Superb Al meme has come from. Like,
oh,
where did
seriously?
It come from? Nobody knows where Superb Al came from. And my wife's like, could they not just do the simplest amount of research?
The media? Yeah, I mean, it's like, dude, really? Like, okay, it's even spelled the same. Hello?
Yeah, but do you know where it comes from? Do you know where it
actually
started?
I don't, probably. I don't. Yeah,
it started. It comes from What We Do in the Shadows. It was an episode of What We Do in the Shadows. Their neighbor had a Super Bowl party, and they thought it was the Superb Al party, and they thought it was the worshiping of a Super Al as a night creature. it was so good.
And how long ago was that?
A couple months ago. It was this past season of that came out in fall.
But I've heard that term before. Robin Bergeron, who we all know, has used it for years.
I'm sure it's been said before, but right. Like the What We Do in the Shadows really made it pretty darn popular. And which kicked off all those memes. Anyway, we'll move on to something different. Nobody cares about a Super Bowl or a Super Bowl party.
It's better than Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah, there we go. Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, no, some people have, like, and what start, I think what really started calling it that and other things has been because, I think it was a church, cause it was for a long time with some churches, it actually was really popular to have a Super Bowl party, but then they would, show a video during halftime instead of, watching the show. And I remember that the church that we got married in had that, you know, it was actually a really good men's event. You know, they would play, like, one year they played a video that had, Tony Dungy in, cause he's a Christian and all that stuff, you know. But then I think the NFL cracked down on stuff like that, cause they didn't want anyone using the word Super Bowl to promote an event, and churches were doing that. And you can't do that because, you know, why put something family-friendly on instead of the crap that's the Super Bowl halftime show? You know, it's like, and we're gonna play music during the halftime show that nobody who watches football would know. You know, but so a lot of churches started calling it the big game thing or something like that, you know. NFL is money grubbing, and that's what they're there for. That's why I don't watch them anymore. But yeah. So
Critical Mass is out. We missed it.
Critical Mass.
Yeah, Daniel Suarez, Critical Mass. A Delta 5 novel, book 2.
Interesting.
Since we're talking about movies, though, did you hear who died today?
No.
Raquel Welch passed at 82.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, she was in a lot of 60s stuff. I know, I think, was she in Star Trek 2 at one point? She might have been.
Just about everybody was in Star Trek at one point.
Yeah, true. Yeah, she was always good in pretty much whatever she was in, so. Now, I do, kind of one thing it's been on my mind, cause, we found out, one of my wife's uncles, he had a stroke. And I guess today they took him off life support.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But it's like the wife and I were talking about it, and I don't know if we're gonna go to this funeral. I'm pretty sure we're probably not, because it's like ever since her mom died 13 years ago now, not an email, a phone call, no nothing from him. Or, her other brother, Frank. And, you know, and that's like, he sent a message to my sister-in-law that says, hey, we're gonna do this tonight, and, we wanted to make sure you guys knew you were welcome, and I'm just like, you know, it's like I was talking to my wife, I said, I don't hate the man, I don't love him, I nothing him. And that might sound harsh, but that's true. I mean, it's like, you know, for the last 13 years, I haven't heard anything from him. And it's like, you know, I'm supposed to care anymore? You know, I don't know. Because it's like, if she really wanted me to go, that's fine. I'll go. But it's like, when she doesn't care about it either, I'm going to be like, yeah, I don't need to do that. But Saturday, I am going to a funeral, unfortunately. Good friend of mine at church, he passed. So he had brain cancer, though. So it wasn't really a surprise. We knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
I'm sorry to hear that, too, Joel.
Yep. He's like you ever run into those guys, usually an older guy, that feels almost like your second father. That's kind of what I thought of this guy. So, very few people I think about that with. But well, here's to hoping that I have a quiet rest of the week, because I could really use it, because it was not a great week in the last couple of weeks. But we'll see how this works. I actually have some training coming up. We're doing, in fact, I think it's coming. The materials are starting to come to me. Since we are more or less, I won't say help desk because we're not really help desk, but we're getting ITIL certified. A lot of us are. So
what certified?
ITIL.
You aren't ITIL certified?
What the hell is that?
Nope. It is information.
Basically best practices.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Carry on.
Yeah, it's the Information Technology Infrastructure Library is a framework designed to standardize the selection, planning, delivery, maintenance, and overall lifecycle of IT services. So, ITIL level 4, I think it will be. Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes. It doesn't hurt to have us another certification I can put on my LinkedIn profile. So.
Do you know Ice Window Manager had a release this year already?
It did? Wow.
January 23rd. They're really pumping them out.
I did see, I think the first betas of the April Ubuntu release are already out. Betas were maybe the first releases or nightlies.
Yeah, that's great. I gotta get a new hard drive. Replacement hard drive here. So I can upgrade my system and not have to keep trying to delete shit off of it to do the upgrades.
You must have a mini hard drive.
Well, yeah, this is the one that's like, so my hard drive died and I replaced it and, with what I had laying around. So this only has, 22 gigs on the root partition. And I try to pack a lot of shit on there. And then when it comes time to upgrade, I usually have to delete, like, some stuff. I usually have to delete OpenOffice off of there to get the upgrade to go, and then I can put OpenOffice back on. Which, like, I never use OpenOffice, so I don't. LibreOffice.
Why put it back on?
Why bother? Because I don't know.
Oh, 23?
Yeah, I gotta have GIMP, I gotta have LibreOffice, gotta have Krita. Yep.
2304 is codename Lunar Lobster. That's a good code name, actually, Lunar Lobster. At least I know what a lobster is.
There we go.
Yep.
That's a month and a half away.
It is.
Time's just whipping by.
That's what's called getting old. They're going to updated versions of GNOME on that. It's not a, I don't think it's not the LTS, is it? I don't think it is.
Well, I thought 2020 was an LTS, so it wouldn't be 2024. Isn't every 4 years is an LTS? Like 2016, 2020, or is it every 2 years?
Yeah.
I was just on Ubuntu's page too. You know what? I can never find anything in Ubuntu's page. So Yeah, here we go.
Now, they did have an announcement about, not an announcement.
I stand corrected. It's every 2 years is an LTS. So
okay.
2024
then.
2004. Oh, 1804, 1604,
1404. So it's always the April release then.
That's what they've been going with.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I talked about it on my other show. That the support contract, I forget what it's called. I want to say Ubuntu One, but that's not it.
Isn't it Ubuntu One?
No, it's like their dry space thing.
Wait, is Ubuntu, wasn't that their like, their service that also included like music?
Yeah, I think so. Crap, I'm trying to remember what we talked about. But basically, it's like a support contract or something. Ubuntu Pro.
Okay, I was going to say, is it Ubuntu Pro?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was the end of January when that happened, where you get like up to 5 systems for free.
Okay.
And 10 years security. Yeah, and this is like if for those who want to stay on the LTSs. So. And I'm never on an LTS. So. I'm always on what's the most current. I'll put this in the mobile chat from ghacks.net.
The what? Wait, what are you putting where?
The story. There's a story about Ubuntu Pro and what it is.
Oh, okay.
2204 is the LTS. So 2404 will be the next LTS. 10 years, basically, if you stick on the LTS, we get up to 10 years of security support for the Ubuntu main and 23,000 additional packages, optional phone and ticket support, NIST certified FIPS crypto modules, USG hardening with CIS and DISA STIG profiles, common criteria EAL2, kernel live patch service in whatever landscape is. Landscape is a management and administrative tool for Ubuntu that enables enterprise customers to manage up to 40,000 machines from a single interface. So basically, like Ubuntu's version of a domain controller of sorts. So, cool stuff.
So,
and
Ubuntu,
I think it's free.
Yeah, it's Ubuntu Pro is free for personal use on up to 5 machines, unless you are an Ubuntu community member and it's raised to 50.
Right.
If you are an Ubuntu community member, that sounds like you're pretty up on Ubuntu.
Right.
Why? I mean, I'm not trying to knock them or anything, but wouldn't you be on the latest Ubuntu if you were a community member?
I was going to say, why would you be on LTS if you're a community member?
But good on them. I mean, whatever.
I guess for your server, but you might have your desktop on the latest and your server on the LTS just for stability. Yeah.
I mean, they got to make money some way.
Yep.
And I'm all for that.
Well, companies are going to look for desktop support on a lot of stuff, so it's going to be, that's like I'm sure we pay for all the RHEL support so that we can, you know, get software updates and whatnot for RHEL for our servers. Once we can hopefully start to get rid of our tech debt. Ugh, easy for me to say.
Never completely get rid of tech debt.
No. You're right, because life moves on.
Always more.
I still got 2012 boxes on the Windows side.
Have any of you ever done a live patch of the kernel?
I have. I'm not sure if it did it on Ubuntu. There was, was it RHEL or something? Someone had it like a long time ago where you could do that.
I know SUSE had it. Wasn't SUSE like the first one to come out with that?
It could have been, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that RHEL, I'm pretty sure RHEL has it. And I've just never done that. I don't have a need to.
Well, I will say with all your cloud stuff, you just generate a new instance whenever you need an update.
If I was on the infrastructure side of, I don't know, whatever they do over there, maybe that would be a place to do it. Although the infrastructure of a data center, not like in AWS or not in Google Cloud
or AWS or Azure. Yeah. It sounds like, were you on AWS at all, Dan, at all?
We were on there for about a year.
Okay. But you're all Google now, which, you know, I know the next hot thing is going to be multi-cloud so that you're not, you know, like, for example, if US East goes down, you're not completely screwed. You can fall over to Google or whatever.
Yeah, we were supposed to do that. Like, we were, I think their plan was, originally it was like, we'll be in AWS and Google, and then they just went all in on Google, and then there was a thought of maybe Azure too, but no, it's just been...
But Azure would kind of make sense if you had to support some Windows hosts too. Which, I bet you there are some that have to do that as well, so.
It does. AWS has Windows instances, don't they?
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And I know GCP does too.
Right.
The cost.
I don't. Yeah, I was gonna say. and that's gonna what drives us to, kind of driving us more towards our SaaS product because it all runs on Postgres, and they also taken things like some of the stuff that on managed cloud is still Unidata, moves up into Redis. So that's going to be interesting. I'm going to get to start to learn that because we're going to start taking support calls for our SaaS team as well. So
do you have a Redis support contract?
That's a good question. Probably.
Cause they get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice chunk of cash right there.
Well, it's like, you were talking about Rancher, like in the last year and all that when Docker pulled the stuff they did.
Yeah.
I got an email from our IT that says, hey, you're running Docker. And I'm like, nope. I reply back to the email. I said, do you think you detected the version that's on the laptop that I no longer have? And that's what it was. I said, my current PC's host name is this. All right. It doesn't match what your email said. So that's what happened is they ran a scan. And what's funny is they ran the scan after October. So corporate must still have that machine somewhere. Maybe. I don't know if they gave it to like an intern or something after they re-imaged it, but it's like, you guys, I don't know how good your scan's working through Big Fix. So, but they are though, instead of having to choose something like Rancher for building containers, they are paying to get the corporate license for building a Docker containers with the Docker client.
That's cool. For 90% of my stuff, Rancher desktop has been fine.
Right.
Except I haven't tried doing any Docker Compose stuff with it.
It's just my case where using that VIP support tool has been problematic.
You just want to maintain what you have.
Yeah, it's been doing great for maintaining what we have. It's just that, like I said. You know, I have to be honest. What I find Docker desktop, they provide the runtime Docker stuff that you need if you're using, you know, wanting to do stuff. There's other ways to do it too, but they make it so easy to switch contexts. Kubernetes context by just dropping down the menu and selecting it instead of having to use the commands. It makes us. Anyway, we got to start wrapping this up. It's 10 o'clock.
We do.
Woo! Woo! Happy Valentine's Day, Joel and Joe, and Paz no longer here. Anything else before we play out?
Nope.
All right. Nope. Enjoy your week. Blow some money. And here are your promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yep.
One minor thing we forgot to mention. Microsoft has now permanently disabled Internet Explorer for all devices. Nobody's going to be disappointed.
Will anyone even notice?
Yeah, right?
How did they do that? How did they disable it?
I know that, like, now, like, when you go to look at the Windows added features, it's no longer an option. I don't know if they sent an update that takes it off of your machine.
Well, like, what if you're not updating your machine?
Well, I guess you still can use it if you really want to.
What if you're still using Windows XP? Because there's probably still people out there doing that. How would they have disabled it there?
Internet Explorer, the first release of Internet Explorer was in 1995. Oh!
Well,
replaced by Edge that uses WebKit, I think, or Chromium Engine, I should say, not WebKit. Yeah. And Apple temporarily it wasn't Apple that did it, but their update made it happen. They released 16.3.1 of iOS, iPadOS, and all that, and on the iPhone only for some people it broke Google Photos. But then Google released an update where it fixed the issue. Basically, if you had the older version, it would just crash when you go to open it on your iPhone. I never had the problem though. Worked fine on my iPhone. Granted, I don't really use it for Google Photos either. It's my work phone, so. Yeah, and they extended our work phone contracts where it was every 2 years. Now they're making it every 4, just like laptops, which kind of sucks a little bit, but oh well.
You're welcome. Well, how often do you need a new work phone?
Hardly ever, to be honest. I mean, my current work phone is iPhone 11. That's how far out it is. Because it's not like I use a lot of apps on my work phone. PagerDuty, the phone app, texting. That's about it.
All right, say goodnight, Joel. I'm stopping recording.
Good night, Joel. With it.
Yeah, we didn't do anything either. My wife was supposed to do a volunteer shift for the Coast Guard Blue Dolphins. And I had to take Lily into practice.
Oh boy.
And get my swim in too. Yeah. 992. Oh, where's Joey, baby?
Good question.
Said Joey, baby. Ooh. Holy crap, Pat. I have a question for you, Pat. I'm curious. How much did you pay for the Iron Maiden? You went to Iron Maiden a couple weeks, months back, didn't you?
Yeah, it was back on the fall in October.
How much did you pay for tickets?
I didn't get like really amazing seats. I think they're about 60.
50, okay.
50 plus fees.
Cause,
coming, why are they coming? They're not touring next year.
I don't know if they're coming around near me, but,
not this year.
Yeah. Alice Cooper and White Zombie, or not White Zombie, Rob Zombie are coming to the Virginia Beach Amphitheater, and the lawn tickets were like $30, right?
Yeah, that's okay. What about the lower end regular seats?
Yeah, it's kind of a distance away, but I've been there for Motley Crue and a bunch of other groups.
Kind of like the PNC, you know, they have like seated areas and then.
Yeah, yes.
You have a lawn area.
Yeah, so it's like the seated areas and then the lawns and the back behind all that. And you can see, it's fine. It's like a hill. And so your vision's not blocked, but like the seated area, we're starting at like, $100 and some a ticket.
That's a lot.
And then, you know, as you got closer, they were up to like $900 a ticket. I'm like, who can afford that shit?
That's crazy. Dude, you hear what fucking Metallica's doing?
Who?
Metallica. You hear what they're doing on their summer tour?
What are they doing?
They're not going to do a lot of dates in a lot of cities. What they're doing is they're only going to do about a dozen or so cities. And what they want people to do is they have these tickets where you see them like 2-3 nights in a row. And they're fucking super expensive tickets.
Holy, how much of that? Do you know how much, like I can't imagine. That's gotta be
like in a fucking football stadium, you know, MetLife Stadium, which is a new giant stadium.
Yeah.
Like the nosebleeds were like $200-$300. I was like, fuck this. I like Metallica, but I haven't liked an album of theirs like in 20 years. So, I mean, the new stuff sounds okay, but I'm not paying that much to go see them. No thanks.
See, I agree with you. First off, I don't think I'd be interested to see the same group 3 nights in a row. Like, are they putting on a different show each night?
I don't, no fucking clue, but it's a fucking, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, sorry.
Wow. That's a lot
like
of money.
I like the first 5 albums. I've seen them so many times, but please. No, thank you.
Well, it's like I'd like to go see the Columbus Blue Jackets play a game, but I don't want to pay $20 for one fucking hamburger.
Well, you don't have to eat when you go. You can just watch the game.
Let alone the tickets.
How much are tickets?
That's a good question. Don't know. Never found out. I'll look. I think they're still playing.
Yeah, I'm not at all. I don't watch baseball at all, but I'll tell you why. I do enjoy going to a game. They're pretty fun. I'm not a racing fan. I don't like racing at all, but I've gone to races and I've enjoyed them very much. It's not something I would do on a regular basis.
I definitely go to a race.
Now, Demolition Derby, on the other hand, that kicks ass.
Yeah, of course it does. So let's see. Next game is Thursday. Against the Maple Leafs. Like 38 each. Depending on how good, you can get it as cheap as 17. So it's not as much as I would think, but when you consider that if I wanted to go, I'd probably take the wife and kid, and I don't think the kid would enjoy it.
So leave him home. Take the wife.
That's what I'm saying, but no, actually I just don't, the hockey, I'd rather go see the Buckeyes, and those are stupid expensive. You're talking $180 a seat, probably, or more, depending
seat?
On.
A seat?
Yes. Mostly because I don't know how the deal, because they do, like the students get a massive discount, but because there's so many alumni that like to go, they're very expensive. So it's just, yeah.
Wait, what are they? Are they NHL?
Oh no, the Blue Jackets. Yes, they're NHL. They're actually relatively affordable, but still, it's just, you know, like it'd be $200 or $300 for one game.
That's,
you know,
a lot, man.
When you consider three seats, even at 17 apiece, that's $30 just for the tickets. But then, considering the food would probably, if I got food there, and I know my son, if we went, he'd want food, and we're talking expensive money for food. It just, plus the parking and all that shit, it's like, I just don't want to deal with that bullshit. It's like, I'd love to see a game in person, but it's not like one of my dad, see, here's the one good thing about my dad's job when he worked in construction. He was like, after a while, trying to remember how he got started in it, but after a while, what he did was he was the guy that would buy all the shit for the construction site. So he'd buy, like, the last time he worked on site was a Superfund site, and he had to buy weird shit, like a big old, like 144 pairs of flip flops, because every day they came in out of the field, and when they got out of their bunny suits, they had to take a shower. That was by law. You know, for things like, oh, I don't know, the shit that's happening up at Palestine, Ohio, which is all, thankfully, all the way by the Ohio-Pennsylvania border from me. But anyway, so that's the kind of stuff my dad did. And when we lived in Philly, he'd get tickets to go see the Phillies. I saw the Phillies, I saw the Eagles, I saw the Flyers. And then I see multiple monster truck shows, and he didn't pay for any damn tickets. We just got them, and I don't know if it's like, it probably isn't like this anymore now that Veterans is torn down, but when we lived there, you know, we're talking mid 80s, there's these guys that had grocery carts full of soft pretzels. And
at the Superfund site?
No, this is in Philly, out in the sports complex where the Eagles, the Flyers, and the Phillies played. And,
hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Joey?
And they'd sell these pretzels outside, five for a dollar, and they'd always say, cheap on the outside, which is true. I mean, you'd pay $5 for one pretzel, and you'd get five in a bag outside the stadium, you know, and what we'd do is we'd buy them, stuff them under our jackets, go in, and then we'd walk up to the snack stand and slather mustard on them, because that's how you eat them in Philly.
I went to a hockey game recently.
How much were the tickets?
Oh, they were free. They were free.
See, that's the way to
Joel
go.
Joel pays $200 for tickets.
No.
It's not like I went to a pro game either, you know. It's,
no, not at the...
Yeah. I recommend if you want to go to a show, like a concert, like a last minute thing, go on StubHub. A lot of times you'll get tickets.
Yeah.
People can't make it. And you'll get cheap seats for fucking sold out shows.
No, Blue Jackets, no, the tickets are...
No, what I was saying was I went to a hockey game and I paid for nachos for like my entire family. And a
$50?
Thing of nachos was $15.60.
For one?
Like tray of nachos, yes.
No.
So, yeah, you know, $80 worth of nachos.
Right.
Was it like the 7-Eleven size nachos?
Actually, these were fairly decent. I don't know if they were $15.16 or $15.60 worth of nachos, but it was some decent nachos.
See, depending on, like I'm on Ticketmaster, which is going to cost you a bunch of money. If you click best seats, like section C13 row G, which is, I'm trying to see if I wonder if it'll show me if I click on it. Okay, it's like right behind one of the goals. $108. That's for one freaking ticket. Now, if you just go anywhere, then you're looking at... The cheapest I saw was $17. And the highest I saw was... Let me see if I can... No, it doesn't let me...
Well,
I mean, hate their website. But it's just ridiculous.
When you're going down to $17 a ticket, that sounds reasonable. I mean, that's what...
That's probably 2 hour, fucking nosebleeds and,
3 hour game or whatever. You're gonna be there. Having a good time. Anyway, we should get the show started.
Yeah, we should.
Instead of you talking about your damn cheap sheet. Cheap seats. All right, this is 992. Give me a count around, Joel.